talked with Secretary Wyman, and they're going to accept these initiatives, which are in violation of the state constitution, Article 2, Section 37. They are in violation of RCW 29A.72.100. And Kim Wyman basically admitted that they are, but she described in very, very vivid detail how she feels constrained and that the legislature, she says, does not give her the power to turn these initiatives back unless it has to do with very prescriptive items that the legislature called out. So she said, I welcome the court case. I welcome the opponents are going to seek relief on this. And I know they are. I've talked to the opponents. I know they're seeking relief. And I know they're going to come back. And I know they're going to go file again. And they should. But here's the question. Are we going to do we have a Seattle Supreme Court that's now going to pretend this is constitutional? Which brings up this text. By the way, the phone lines are open if you want to talk about this. 800-465-8770 if you want to talk about the initiative. Here's a text. I want to respond to this from 0910. Todd, your initiative reaction reminds me of Trump derangement syndrome. This can't be real. We must resist. Such shock. We're in Washington and the United States. It's dangerous when media selectively decides what to report and leaders decide what laws to support or enforce. No, I totally agree. I don't know where you're getting that I sound like the resistance. What I'm saying is this, and it's super clear. We have a pattern in our state. And we're going to have to be the people who interrupt the pattern. You got to understand this. This isn't fun for me to say. I don't get any kick out of this. You know, I've spent my life being a law follower. But here's the pattern. The Sound Transit tabs are illegal. The legislature outlawed that methodology of valuing our cars twice. Sound Transit hid that method of how they were funded from the legislature. They lied about how much money they're raising to the legislature. And yet, people pay that car tab tax. I don't. 600 of you don't. You register your car outside the RTA. The 405 tolls are inarguably illegal. They had to meet two benchmarks, a speed benchmark and a revenue benchmark. They failed on the speed benchmark. They demonstrably failed. Those lanes are supposed to be shut down. But Sideshow Bob, a part-time attorney general, full-time seeker of gubernatorial campaign donations, he said that the word and means or. It doesn't. It never has and it never will. I will never pay those fees. I will deface my license plate when I drive through there. I will not do it. So it's not, this isn't a resist everything. It is a resist illegal diktats. Because we are in a one-party state. And they are breaking the law. And it is up to us to say, if you pass illegal laws, we're under no moral or legal obligation to follow something that is blatantly illegal. And the way these initiatives were submitted are blatantly unconstitutional and illegal in the clear, plain, readable, easily understandable language of the law, which we've shared with you multiple times. Also on text. Leftist governor, leftist and/or spineless legislature, activist judicial branch. I guess that's the game. Doesn't sound like a healthy republic to me. I know Kim's in a tough spot, and that it's ultimately the fault of the culture that brought us here. But I wish Kim would spend more time meditating on that and saying about the only thing needed for evil to succeed. Well, look, I think Kim defended her position as well as she could, which is she feels constrained by the Constitution and by the law. I think it came across to me that the way I heard the interview was that Kim believes this initiative is a mess. She believes it's a joke. The text is too small, but that's not in her purview as she sees it. Also in the text line, I'm telling you, Todd, the power lays with the people, not just in the form of initiatives by the way of voting. Liberals know they have a stranglehold in this state, and hence they can do as they wish and circle around legislation with impunity if they must. We have to use our power to somehow get these people out of office, out of all three branches. Otherwise, we have to accept our God-given constitutional rights taken away. No, we don't, because the other thing we can do is refuse to follow illegal laws. That's the other thing we can do. And I got this note earlier in the program. This is going to be a whole nother approach to this initiative, and I hope the lawyers are listening. I'm a construction worker across the street from your studio. I signed the ballot petition you're talking about, and I feel like I was duped. I didn't realize all that it entailed. The person gathering signatures told me it was about grocery taxes, tab taxes, and gun control measures. I'm a gun owner, but I'm in favor of gun safety. I was not aware of everything that was in this, and unfortunately I signed. Keep up the good work. You know what you can do? This is a fact. You can go back. You have a period of time in which you can withdraw your signature. You can go say, look, I was fooled. I was duped on this thing, and I didn't know what I was signing. You can do that now. I believe you have 30 days to go back with that and say that. So also on this, a note with Kim. You can't blame Kim Wyman for acting within the constraints of her place in office by the legislature. I believe we should expect no less. Even if you're unhappy with the result, we know so many leftist politicians happily overstep their bounds when it suits their purposes. What we need to do is change the legislature, change the law. Yeah, and that's where I think Kim did a good job on this interview. And I don't think it was an easy interview, by the way. I think I've asked some tough questions of Kim. And look, the fact is that she believes she has a constitutional constraint on this. Now, here's the big difference. You see, when you come on the Todd Herman show, you see what happens? I deeply disagree with her. I disagree that she shouldn't go to court. I think she should go to court. I think she should find a way to sue, to find standing, an amicus brief, anything to get in and make the court say, yeah, Kim, we're going to force you to follow an illegal law. Or an unconstitutional, we're going to force you to adopt an unconstitutional position. I'd like to see that happen. Apparently, her lawyers don't believe that path exists. But to Pete Rogoff, the so-called CEO of Sound Transit, right? You could have come on and explained yourself anytime. Smack Daddy Dow Constantine before you got the nickname. I offered to pay $10,000 to your charity, Dow, if you could defeat me in a debate about Sound Transit 3. $10,000 to your charity. And I offered to put together a panel of venture capitalists, two of them Democrat, one of them Republican. You wouldn't come on because you don't have the stones to step up and answer questions like this. You're afraid of questions like this. Joe Fain, you're afraid of questions like this. Back to the text line of the Kim Wyman interview. Please, Kim, do not cave to those who blame the gun. We have to figure out why someone would want to hurt others or nothing will change. They'll just find another weapon to bring harm. Absolutely. Oh, much more to get to in the Todd Herman Show. I didn't even get to the other local stuff I wanted to talk about. Man, the show's aging. But I want to get to Nate. It's to Nate in Snohomish. We'll come back. Phones are open if you want to talk about the Kim Wyman interview. 800-465-8770. It's been a while since we've done the phone. So if you want to phone in, 800-465-8770. Got some good news for Trump that you won't hear in the mainstream media. We'll get to that as well. We'll come back after. Bump of music by request. That's why you hear lyrics on the Todd Herman Show on Friday. We do bumper music by request. Your thoughts on the Kim Wyman interview. Nate in Snohomish, you're on the Todd Herman Show. Hi, Nate. Thanks for calling. Thanks for waiting.
Hi, Todd. How are we doing today?
Man, I'm disappointed in Kim's decision. I thought that she created a really, actually, very good interview. She feels constrained by the Constitution, but I'm upset. I'm furious. I'm mad that there's an unconstitutional, clearly illegal initiative that's one step closer to being put on the ballot. How about you?
I agree with that. And here's the deal. It gets down to this thing where we know it's illegal. We know it's unconstitutional. And if this does get the ballot, number one, we fight it. Number one, we have to make the case to say, hey, why are you trying to outlaw all semi-automatic rifles? Why are you trying to do this? What's the reason? Why? Have you ever shot a firearm? All these different arguments that we have to make, and we have to convince people that this is just ridiculous as it is. The initiative itself is insane if you read the text of it.
Well, no, it's 29
obviously
topics.
Like you can't do on the back.
No, and I've read the whole thing, and I mean, there's so much to this. You give away your right to healthcare privacy. If you get on your knees and you beg for the right to purchase a weapon that they decide that you need permission to purchase, you have to give up your right to healthcare privacy. Your therapist, if a county sheriff called and said, tell me all the things you're talking about with this guy in your therapy meetings, your therapist would have to say, okay, let me get up my notes and read them to you, or shall I just fax you his entire file?
It's insanity. And so what I wanted to make a point, because you always talk about low trust society.
Right.
And that's what is happening right here.
Exactly.
What's happening is these progressives and liberals and even just well-meaning Democrats don't get it. That when the law is broken, they're like, it's no big deal because we as the progressives can count on the Supreme Court and all these different entities that go, you know what, the rules don't matter for us.
Right.
And you know, at a certain point that they don't get it, but that's why Trump won, because they were tired of all the crap that they're seeing for years and years, the pay to play, all this different stuff. I wasn't a supporter of Trump. Right. And I'm still not to a great extent. But at a certain point, you have to look at it and go, that's why he won, because people are fed up and tired and done with this.
Exactly. Now, let me ask you a tough question, Nate. If this thing, God forbid, becomes law, are you going to follow it?
Oh, hell no.
And this is what
I will not do it.
And this is what they're getting. You keep breaking the law blatantly. You keep filing illegal petitions and you keep breaking the law. More people are going to go, you know what? I'm done. I'm not following the law. And then the law of averages changes. Then you start to encounter the law of big numbers. And guess what? You can't arrest us all. I don't want to be this guy. I didn't want to do a radio show like this. Nate, thanks for the call, brother. Appreciate you very much. Be safe on the road, man. Thank you. 800-465-8770. I don't want to be the guy saying, oh, I don't recognize the power. I do recognize the power of the government, the legitimate power of the government that you make illegitimate when you pass illegal laws. Joe, Skagit County, you're on the Todd Herman Show. Hi, Joe. Thanks for calling.
Anytime, Todd. It's always a privilege to talk to you, Todd. Big fan of yours. I'm a member of your emails and thing, right? I'm the infamous Joe K, right?
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, well, Todd, listen, you know, I have a real bone to pick with this initiative, and as much as I'm sympathetic to trying to make the world safer and trying to deal with these mass shootings, you know, the law is the law. Elections law is elections law. It should not matter if we like the initiative or not. And what I'm afraid of, and this has a Seattle Spirit tie-in, is if we keep having this kind of garbage continue where certain initiatives can be multiple subjects and certain can't.
Right.
Are we going to have just, it's like next Wednesday, 4:00, in the Seattle Elections and Ethics Commission, your buddy, the infamous Joe Kay, is going to take on Iwana in her abusive campaign signs because she's using city copiers for her side. What if the other side wants access to that same materials?
Exactly right.
That's my point here. It's all about justice. It's all about, you know, we need to enforce the laws fairly for everyone.
And you make the point perfectly, and you connect the, and I like that you're sticking with I want. I thank you for the call, Joe, and you've been a buddy to the show forever, and I appreciate you being a buddy to the show forever, Joe. Thank you very much. And I want to say that, look, you tie in the Bhagwan Shrill Sawant. It's a perfect example, Joe. It's a perfect example. She uses city copiers at our expense to print what are campaign signs for her. It's a fact. And if our side wanted access to that, let's walk down there, you and I, and let's go use their copiers to print our campaign signs. It ties right back into this, an illegal initiative from the left. If this was a Wyman, I mean, if this was an Iman initiative or if something I filed, the Supreme Court would have used the same RCW to strike it down. Greg and Buckley, you're on the Todd Herman Show. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Todd. I wholeheartedly agree with you about if you write an illegal law, people are absolved from following it. The only problem is big picture. And I hate telling a professor, it breaks down the social compact. And once you do that so far, the only law out there is might makes right, violence and blood. And that's really frightening.
Well, and Greg, that's why I've been talking for 3 years about the coming of the low trust society. That's why I've been explaining what the low trust society it is. And that's why I am warning the people in Olympia. I am literally issuing a warning. I'm putting myself out there. You do know that I could be charged as a scofflaw. You do know that Dow Constantine could come at me or Sideshow Bob could come at me on multiple touch points. I'm putting myself out there because I'm so concerned about what will happen eventually. I want them to wake up to the fact that they are precipitating a low trust society that you describe. Because most people don't follow the law because they're afraid they're going to get caught if they don't. Most people follow it because of what you said, which is a social compact. But Greg, when we see this continuous pattern, aren't we at a point where a part of what we do is we passively, we don't go break things or harm people, God forbid, at all. that we passively say, hey, you know what? We're done. We're not following it. Aren't we at that point?
And as I said, I agree with you. The problem is that this is pushing up against the line where passivity will become active disobedience. And at that point, now it's, oh, okay, if there is no law, no one's going to enforce the law. We take away proactive policing. We take away everything that keeps that social compact together. You get to that really scary point where now might makes right. I'm bigger. I'm better equipped. I'm whatever. And therefore, I'm right. And it doesn't matter what you think.
And that's
the problem with this ruling.
Right. Exactly. Because this is a ruling from the Seattle Supreme Court that operates out of Olympia, used to be the state Supreme Court. This is them clearly showing the cards. You know, and I know, if this was a pro-gun initiative, they would have used the same RCW to say it needs to be turned down. And Greg, you make a great point. I can tell you've listened to the show a lot. I appreciate you calling, man. I love Buckley, by the way. Buckley's beautiful. Vicky from Toledo, you're on the Todd Herman Show. Hi, Vicky. Vicky, go ahead. You're going to lose your chance at fame.
Sanctuary.
Hey.
You know, it's a sanctuary city?
Yeah.
Sanctuary from that law.
Yeah. Where are we going to do it?
That's what I say.
In Toledo? It's going to be sanctuary?
Yeah, Toledo.
I love it.
Yeah, well, not down here it ain't, but up in Seattle it's a sanctuary city.
Yeah, so let's, you know, I had this idea of getting a party bus, if this law passes, and getting about 100 of us on a couple different buses, headed straight over to Idaho. Let's go purchase a whole bunch of guns, a whole bunch of ammo, bring it right over here and say it wasn't purchased here. Let's start to show them this. And yeah, I'd love to find a small town somewhere that wants to test the legality of this, change their name to True Freedom Washington. How many of us could move there? Heck, I'll try to talk them into moving the radio station there. Wouldn't that be perfect?
That would be perfect.
I love it. Thank you for the call. Appreciate you,
Vicky.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for listening to the show. Todd Herman Show continue on AM 770 KTTH on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. Gotta admit, we don't do phones enough. It's such a pleasure to hear your voices. Thank you. You can also hit us up on the text line, 800-465-8770, brought to you by None Better Tax Resolution. And
Bernie Sanders anthem.
Oh, this is the Bernie anthem.
The Internationale, a left-wing anthem, and it's been the standard of the socialist movement since the late 19th century.
Very good. So it's bumper music by request on the Todd Herman Show on Friday, hence we're looking at some themes. This is a prospective theme for Bernie Sanders. Can you tell why? Speaking of Bernie Sanders, thing I'm going to get to. The left cannot give up on this. Chris Cuomo on Bernie Sanders and single payer. And I want to share some new news on
the
this.
The idea of raising taxes to pay for this kind of single payer plan, which is almost a guarantee, is hard. Your own state, Vermont, tried it in 2014.
Chris.
Couldn't do it because they'd have to sell an 11% increase.
Chris, you're talking about raising taxes.
Yes.
But you're forgetting the other half of the equation is that people are not going to be paying private insurance for it.
Chris, you're making the point about raising taxes, but you're forgetting the other part. Is that at that point, no one on the supply side that is providing the care has any reason to provide any form of efficiency or speed or efficacy of service? Because when we take it all over, there'll be no place for anyone to go. So there's nothing more expensive than free health care when the government provides it, and you're forgetting that part of the equation, which is the second part of the equation, is that once you have the health care and you control that, now, look, then we can make the changes, such as there are certain people who should have three homes. I'm one of those people because, of course, I'm bringing about the societal change. Other people who are the rich CEOs who do not give to my campaign, they don't deserve to have the three homes unless they're giving to my campaign. Oh, hold on. Wait a minute. Before I came on the program, I forgot to take my lie pills, and I just accidentally told the truth. Here's some news you can take with you about where we're at with healthcare in the country. So just courtesy of this guy.
You know, it's funny. Sometimes American journalists talk about how bad a country is because people are lining up for food. That's a good thing. In other countries, people don't line up for food. The rich get the food and the poor starve to death.
Congratulations to the United States healthcare system. It is now the least competitive marketplace in the entire United States of America. The least competitive. Now, this is by design in Obamacare, and I want to get into this in detail next hour, but so much of this is lining up Trump's way, and I'll tell you why. Because you compare the reality. Obamacare rates are going to go up. They're starting to shoot up, and they're going to go up again, and they're going to continue to go up, and access is going to continue to go down. That's for the older folks. With the younger folks, something fascinating is occurring. The young people are beginning, particularly the white young people, the white young men are beginning to walk away. They're beginning to walk away. Remember that guy we had on, Brandon? We're trying to bring him back on from the walk away movement. Remember him? Brandon Strzok. The unsilent minority. We broke the story of this guy. My wife saw him on Facebook and said, Todd, you got to get this guy on. People are walking away. This is from PJ Media. Tyler O'Neill. Young white men created the greatest shift away from the Democratic Party in this time period. In 2016, nearly half of them, 48%, said they would vote for a Democrat. Only 36% say they'd vote Republican. This year, 46% said they would choose a Republican. Only 37% said they'd vote Democrat. Now, this is on purpose. It's the Democrat Party that's done this. It's the Democrat Party who set this circumstance up. They're the ones who did the racial math. They're the ones who said, hey, we're going to lose white men, but that's okay because white men are going to be a minority. Here's the tactic, guys. Reverse the intersectionality. Begin to break it apart. The left has amassed people into victim groups. Okay, so you have your LGBTQ WTF. Groups. They're all aligned with the grievance mongers of every possible variety. Everybody against the single white men. Start to break this apart. Who are the allies of young millennial white men? Well, probably young millennial white women. Where are they being victimized? Well, they are going to be all concerned about abortion, right? Nope. Younger women are not breaking that way. Not in reliable numbers. So ask young millennial women. Are your boyfriends and your brothers and your classmates, are they what the Democrats are telling you? Is this true that they're all racist, that they're all sexist, that your experience is they're all rapey? Begin building a reverse coalition by breaking about the intersectionality created false team of the left. Second step, just a suggestion, ask these same young people, at what point do they want to be able to be forced to go to, let's say, this hospital versus that hospital? Just do an ad. At what point in your future, is it now, is it 20 years from now, is it when you have your first kid, do you want to be forced by this guy, show a picture of Bernie, to go to this hospital? This is what single payer means. Single payer means that white old man that we're told to hate, unless he's a leftist, that white old man, or show Nancy Pelosi, that white old woman, or show Raul Castro, this oldish Hispanic man, he's going to decide that you go to hospital A versus hospital B. Now remember, you aligned the women, the young women, millennials, by saying, are your boyfriends, are they all rapey, are they all sexist, are they all racist? No, you're being lied to by the Democrat Party. They begin to shift in the policy. Is what you want in your future, this guy saying, you, young lady, who's now gotten pregnant with your young millennial male friend, who's now your husband, hopefully, do you want them to decide for you which hospital you go to? It is about the remessaging, because the left admits this. There's a piece that's made its way around leftist circles, New York Magazine. And, of course, they're focused on this young woman who pretends to be a socialist, this Ocasio-Cortez, who won in the New York 10th, and they're all excited about her because she's good-looking, photogenic, looks good on camera, and is attractive. Those are her qualities. Oh, she lied about where she's from. There's that. She's actually from a pretty upper-middle-class area. She's not from the Bronx. It's a lie. Oh, and she had an economics degree from a prestigious university, so there's that. And, oh, women like her aren't supposed to run for office, except women like her are exactly the sort of people who run for office. Headline, New York Magazine. Ocasio-Cortez's socialism can work in the Midwest with a rebrand. Here's the rebrand that they're planning. They're planning a Medicaid for all rebrand because this apparently polls decently in the Midwest. And you know what's weird? You know what else polls decently? Jobs for everyone in the Midwest. So once again, to the Republicans, why not get ahead of this? Get out and brand Medicaid for all as this guy, Bernie, this woman, Nancy, choosing your hospital for you. Brand it, choosing what your coverage is for you. And on the jobs for all, then go out and brand that. Because apparently people think instead of welfare, you give people jobs. Okay, who decides what jobs are needed? The people who are handing them out for votes. Are they actual jobs? Is the work actually needed? Is the work actually done? Secondly, when a job is guaranteed, you guarantee it. What possible motive do you have to show up and do a good job? You can't be fired. We need to get ahead of these trends because the Democrats are already ahead of us in this. And look, we're already in the midst of becoming a low-trust society. And I just did a segment where I'm talking about not following the 1639, that it's illegal. And it is. It's unconstitutional. Big difference, and I want to say it. I want to say it clearly. Passive resistance to a law like 1639 is one thing. Passive resistance to the illegal car tab things, that's another thing. I'm stuck in the passive resistance mode, guys. If you're looking for someone else, I ain't your guy. The left, on the other hand, Rose City Antifa, just put out a Facebook post, unmasked, standing in the woods with the much-hated semi-automatic rifles. They said, we're unmasked to show the conservatards that we mean business. Yeah, that's why I'm warning Olympia. That's why I'm warning them. You do not want conservatives going low trust. Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTGH and on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. Now, remember, I've been telling you we got a heck of an email segment coming up today. I've been promoting it all day. We do text messages all throughout the show, and we're getting better at that. 800-465-8770. Greg Nunn from Nunn Better Tax Resolution actually pays for that line. Don't wait to be asked. Get the number programmed in your phone. If you got thoughts in a segment, send them in. I want your voice in every single segment of this program. Also, Twitter. I'm omnipresent there, and it's a problem for me. At Todd E. Herman. Email is therman at ktth.com or just go to ktth.com across Facebook messages. Start things off with Tim from Paulsboro on Kim Wyman. Sends us a letter here. Dear Honorable Kim Wyman, to clarify your first point, you cannot reject a petition according to RCW 29A.72.170 if it contains the language in part entitled, here insert the established ballot title of the measure, a full, true, and correct copy of which is printed on the reverse side of this petition. Even if the back of the petition does not contain a full, true, and correct copy of the language of this initiative, to extend this to an absurd extreme, if the backs of the I-1639 petition contained the language of 1631, that would that be reason to invalidate them? So if the petitions contain the specific language of RCW 29A.72.130 on the front, but do not contain the full, true, and correct copy of the language of the initiative on the back, they must be accepted by your office? As a matter of fact, if the backs of the petitions contained no initiative language, they would still have to be accepted by your office? I think I understand. Wait, no, really, I don't. You must do your job as prescribed in these RCWs. This was undoubtedly the political intent of the court refusing to hear the case. Very clever. And as absurd as my extreme examples are, the same court could also decide the language on the backs of the petition as well. Good enough. Meaning the law is of no value. Nice words, totally meaningless. I do not envy your current position. You've obviously been designated to be the fall guy, and all the focus of criticism related to this deceptively titled multi-subject initiative reaching the November ballot. If it does reach the ballot, and if it does indeed receive a majority of the votes, I expect the same court that threw this decision into your lap will also say the arguments about the title and the petition accuracy and the multi-subject content are just specious because, well, their hearts are in the right place. Truly sad. Cordially yours, Tim. Well said, Tim. Well said. I'm not going to give a lot of responses to the emails today because we got so much of them, and I'm trying to get better at that. This is your segment. I should shut my hole. John from Olympia on R1 in the Democratic server. We talked about this yesterday. This is the guy who whose family took millions of dollars, as I recall, from the congressional Democrats and was, in fact, had a massive, almost 6,000 unauthorized intrusions into their system and replaced a server that was being investigated by the court. It's an absurd thing that this guy's not in jail. Todd, my nose tells me something, and I have a pretty good nose for this stuff. I think John's a former law enforcement guy. Think about all the classified material the Democrats had on those committees and had access to. Then how much of that was illegally placed on the on that server? All that classified information is now in Pakistan. If it's in Pakistan, the Taliban, Iran, and the Chinese, at the very least, have it. This is a massive security breach, bigger than Clinton, possibly the largest in history. Of course Congress will bury it. There's good reason to not telegraph to our enemies how much was really taken. But the bigger reason is the swamp protecting the swamp. We'll never know the extent of the breach or damage done or the lives lost because of it. Well said. Well said, John. See, I told you. It's great emails today. From Larry in Linwood on Sleepy J the Doodler. Hi, Todd. I love your show every day. Question. Why is it that our doodler has not done anything to clean up his high school neighborhood? He's a graduate of Ingram High School, which is right off Highway 99. Did you know that drugs, prostitution, and small houses, homelessness, and burglaries in this neighborhood are rampant? Wouldn't you think that the doodler would make sure that the neighborhood he grew up in and all his neighbors would not have all this horrid stuff right here? Basically, he's turned his back on his North Seattle digs. If he had an ounce of integrity, he would have this place all cleaned up rather than ignoring it. Oh, by the way, I have two friends who live in that neighborhood, and they were broken into 2 weeks ago. They didn't call the police, as the police can only take a report, and they didn't want to wait 3 hours for the police to show up to do nothing. Not getting any better, is it? Keep up the good work, Todd. You bring attention to important matters. Thank you. Another great note, Larry. Thank you. The fact is, JNZ doesn't care about this. He doesn't have to. We're in a one-party state. If you sufficiently hate Donald Trump, that's all you need to get the attention of leftists in Seattle. Robert from Monroe on soul bearing. Dear Todd, I love you bearing your soul to us in your personal note section of the show. This one on July 3rd, 2018 got to me. I've been meaning to write to you about the story of how you were helping your daughter fill her memory box. Literally in that week you aired that story. I received the box from my brother, and in it were items from my dad at the state. When I opened the box, the first thing I saw was a graduation program from when I graduated high school in 1974. As I dug deeper, I saw several letters and cards that I'd sent to my dad on his birthday and several on Father's Day. A little further down, I found an envelope with a baby shower invitation. The baby shower was for my mom and dad's third child. That was me. I couldn't go through any more of the box. I was so overwhelmed at what I found. I'm not ashamed to say that as a 61-year-old man, I openly wept at the treasures I'd received. Todd, keep filling your daughter's memory box. Someday, she'll remember you for all the wonderful times that each thing in the box represents. P.S. Producer Tom's a keeper. I went through 1 year of being a college DJ, and first-time jitters affect everyone. Thanks for the note, Robert. I appreciate that. Yeah, I hope that one day my daughter realizes, with all the mistakes we've made, and I've made various and many mistakes, it's always been erring on the side of maybe loving too much. Maybe that's it. Cheryl from Fort Hood, Texas, on immigrants removed from their service. This is a nom de plume. Cheryl's asked me to mask her name. Todd, about this story of Trump kicking immigrants out of the military. Just like the children getting separated, it all started under Obama. Just like that policy, there are actual reasons for it. A Department of Defense memo pointed to serious security risks in the program of immigrants serving in the armed forces. In fact, they had 10,000 people in this program who had not gone through proper security vetting. You'll recall that our enemy wants to be able to bomb us from within. Need I remind everyone what happened down here in Fort Hood, Texas, with a guy the FBI knew was connected to terrorism? How do I know all this? Well, I work in military justice. Here's a Stars and Stripes article to fill you in. God bless you and yours, Cheryl. Yep, I read the article. Fact is, she's absolutely right. This did start under Obama, so many things did. The press won't mention that. I assure you. It's an attorney. It seems to be pushing most of this. An attorney for someone who wants to sue Trump. Smart move by the attorney, as my friend Chad said on Facebook. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. Is Roger Daltrey the next guy to step in to help Starbucks get their employees' heads straight? I'll explain when we come back on AM 770 KTTH on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM.